Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Well, yesterday was Wow Wednesday, and we got started with our girlfriend Vivian and her socially conscious segment. And Vivian talked about the Chipotle franchise, you know, that kind of Mexican grill. Yeah, they have some good food over there. Well, they're gonna have to pay out. Yes, you know, this employee labor issue is really big. I don't think a lot of companies, especially maybe, you know, the smaller ones who are dealing with younger people and, you know, people who are getting jobs for the first time, you know, they don't realize how important these employee laws are and the posting mandates and things like that. Well, Chipotle weren't, they were not doing their job. Yes, they were found negligent of posting their labor laws in the proper place. They were not paying their employees properly either. So now they're going to have to put out $20 million to employees between the years 2017 and 2022, you know, and give them some money back. Yes, money back that they never got. So if they thought they were getting away with something, that goes right out the window. They're going to have to pay $1,500 per person and $1 million in civil penalties. Ooh. Well, you know, unfortunately, this gun issue and this arbitrary placement or leaving or forgetting about these guns and leaving them in the wrong place. Again, we hear another four-year-old shot a little girl in the back seat of the car while mom was driving, put her hands on the gun, and unfortunately the gun went off. And, you know, I don't understand who you have riding in your car. Why do you have these guns? Where do you have them placed? You know, we got to do better. We have to do better. We have to do better to protect our poor little kids. And it's just happening way, way too often. Well, the ladies were in the house yesterday, and we got to talking about idols. And you know what's funny? A lot of times, you know, we get into the mode of having these idols in our life without even realizing it. And yesterday we talked about, you know, your spouse. Is your spouse an idol? And some of the signs that you could tell that your spouse is your idol. And we talked about, you know, your mood shifts when you're going through, you know, relationship issues with your spouse. And the ladies were very candid yesterday and, you know, just explaining how they've been there. You know, how you thought when you got married, things were just going to change. You know, this person was going to, you know, make your life feel a certain way, or things were going to change in a certain way. And, you know, when they are not in a good mood and they may be, you know, treating you a little twisted, now your whole mood is twisted. And I have to tell you, you know, that stuff is real. That's real. You may not want that to happen, but it's real, especially if you've relied on them to be your happy, if you will. You know, if they're happy and everything is going well, then you're like in, you know, in la-la land. And then once they come down off that, you don't know what to do with yourself. I've seen it happen. And I have to think about it. Yesterday when the ladies were talking, I was like, have you ever been there? And I was like, yeah. Yeah. And it wasn't necessarily for the same reason, you know, because I thought it was going to, you know, be my end all or be all. But, you know, it's just, if that person just makes you that kind of happy, when things are going wrong or when things are just not the way they are supposed to be, it does affect you. Well, how deeply does it affect you is the question. You know, if, you know, you just adjust, you know, a little bit based on what they're going through or based on how their mood is, then that's one thing. But it's a slippery slope. I got to tell you. Oh, we talked about when they call the shot. That's when you know that they're an idol. When they get to say everything that goes on and everything that doesn't go on. And we have all seen somebody there. Even if you don't know what it looked like in your own life, you know what it looks like in someone else's life. So, you know, these are the things that we really have to pay attention to. You know, we really don't think that things like that affect us. No. But in all honesty, it does. In all honesty, whether we want it to or not, it does. And again, you know, the ladies talked about yesterday, you know, how severe is it? You know, how severe is it? You know, and again, they were very open and honest about, you know, what they've gone through in regards to, you know, this idolization. And nobody realizes it. Nobody realizes that, you know, you've made this individual an idol. You know, so, you know, I closed out yesterday with, it's not good for them. No. You know, you have to be on the ball. You have to understand that, you know, not only is there an infraction for you, but now you have to ask, you know, is that making a mess for someone else? You know, are you putting them up on a pedestal so high that they don't honor God? Because you can really lose your sight. You can. You can really lose your sight. And a lot of us have seen that happen. So, you know, there's a lot to be said right within your marriage. You know, has that taken on a look that, or an existence that God's not happy with? You know, I remember reading Paul said, I wish you all could be single just like me. Yes, he did, because he understood, you know, when we're single and we accept God, you know, in our life and Jesus is the head of our life, we're focused. Well, we're focused. We ain't worrying about nobody else. We're not trying to make anybody unhappy. It's all about God, God, Jesus, Jesus. But the moment some of us get married or in a relationship, God gets kicked to the curb because we ain't got no time no more. You know, you can do everything you want to do, but now you can't get out to service. You're not, you know, involved with Bible study. You're running all over the place. You're all up in the family and, you know, his friends or her friends. And, you know, now it's about couples. And, yeah, some of us really don't realize how we just got all twisted. And, you know, I kind of understand how that could happen. You know, sometimes we just have not experienced this type of attention. So now that we've got this type of attention, we're off to the races. Well, that's why you really must develop a proper relationship with the Lord. Because once you have someone, you can't now forget about God. You can't put God on the low end of the totem pole. No. God still has to be number one. And sometimes we can't figure out why our lives are not going right and the relationship is no longer going well. Well, think about maybe it's the fact that you kind of shifted priorities. And God is not getting everything that he's supposed to get. Think about it. Well, that's the way it goes down. So, that's how we spent our yesterday, and we could not finish off a Wednesday properly if we did not have our Pastor Charlotte and our Faith Over Fear segment, and it came across nice and powerful. Yes. So we had a wonderful morning, as always, over here on this new time with Pastor Steph. And today is Therapeutic Thursday. Yeah, yeah, you know how we do. You know, now Therapeutic Thursday may not seem like much different than any other day. But, you know, I do feel a difference. And I got some healthy stuff coming up. So you may want to get that pad and pen out. And so you can take some notes. But we need to be real grateful that we're on this side of the grave, you know, instead of complaining, how we going to get through the rest of the week, figure it out. So go get that healthy breakfast, go tell someone that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on, and make sure you go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
How do your parents protect you?
My mom holds my hand in the parking lot.
Mommy puts me in my car seat. My mommy doesn't let me ride my bike without a helmet. Mom won't let me wheel higher at the playground.
They give me floaties so that I can swim.
My mommy says, "Walk, wait, or step until you don't step in dog poop."
My mom tells me to call her, so she knows that I'm safe at the bus stop.
My mom won't let me drive her car to Italy.
As parents, you protect your children in many little ways every single day. Getting them vaccinated is just one more way that you can help to protect them and keep them healthy. Vaccines can protect your child from serious illnesses and diseases like measles, mumps, and chickenpox. Contact your doctor today to make sure your child is up to date on their shots.
Get your child vaccinated. For more information, visit odh.ohio.gov.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Therapeutic Thursday. Yes, God has been very gracious to us as he has ushered us onto this side of the week. And we're coming on down to the end of the week. You know, I load these PSAs in the very beginning of the month onto the site. And all I get to see later is I kind of give them a caption. And the caption for this morning was childhood immunization, because this is immunization awareness month, not vaccination necessarily of like the COVID-19 vaccine, just immunization period. And we pretty much all immunize our children. And one of the things that kind of drew me to this PSA was when the lady asked, you know, how does your mom or your dad protect you? And I don't know if you were listening, but it was a really cute, you know, cute stuff. One said, you know, mom, make sure, you know, that I don't walk in dog poop. And you know, the other one said, mom wants me to call when I get to the bus stop to let her know that I'm safe. You know, there were various ways. One little girl said, they won't let me drive, mom won't let me drive her car to Italy. And I love when you talk to children, because they're really innocent. They'll come out with some stuff that you're really not prepared for. And, you know, I remember getting the same, having the same thought when I heard it this morning, that, you know, as when I first uploaded it in the beginning of the month. And I think about, you know, those are children talking about how your parents, you know, protect you. And I got such devastating news this morning about a parent, two parents, that I know that had to be on their mind. You know, how do we, you know, how do we protect our kids? You know, when you're a parent, that's what you think about. You think about, you know, how do you, you know, when they're little, you can control who they're around, where they go. You know, you have that control, but as they get older, you lose that control because they're independent now. And, you know, okay, mom, see you later. Okay, dad, see you later. And you just, as a praying parent, you just pray that you see them later. You know, and your prayer is that, you know, the normal course will take place and they will bury you. You never want to ever think about having to let go of your children. And having lost my mom recently, I think about that more. You know, it's like that was such a blow. And I'm like, the bigger blow would be to lose your children. And we have a lot of praying to do for a family, beautiful family, who just lost their son. I didn't even realize they had a son this age, 22. And when I read the text this morning, my whole heart just fell out of my body. And I say, you know, we're on here every day. And, you know, we're telling of God's goodness. We're ministering to people. We're trying to get through the days just like everybody else. But I couldn't imagine trying to get through a day like today for them. I couldn't even imagine, you know. So I'm here to say this morning, as you heard the little children say, you know, mom and dad tried, you know, they try to protect me. Cover your children in prayer. And they're too little. They were too little to, you know, pretty much think of that. But I do. As a mom, as a pastor, as a child of God, as a minister, you think about prayer and how, you know, it's only prayer that covers you know, and allows us to be able to say hello and goodbye to our loved ones, and hello again, and see you later, and that later comes. Cherish your family, cherish your loved ones. You know, every day, since January of 2021, I started saying, please do not miss this opportunity to give God your life right now, because later is not promised to us. And that's such an understatement. Such an understatement. Please, please. We don't know when. We don't know how. We don't know what. Please do not miss the opportunity. We tend to think as young people, we got time. 22 years old. I always like to say your life hasn't even begun. And such a tragic, from what I'm hearing, such a tragic. You know, it's one thing to lose your child. It's another thing, how? And one of the things that come across your mind is, what were they thinking about? You know, what were they going through? Were they scared? You know, you think about stuff like that, you know, because that's your heart out there. That's your heart. That's your heart out there. It's the only time in your life where you live outside your own body. You can't control where Mary goes, John goes, Jane goes, Bob goes. And your heart is always walking outside of your body. And you're saying to yourself, oh, my God, what were they thinking? You know, what was on their mind? Were they scared? Oh, my heart. And it's not even one of my children or someone that I love personally. But as a mother, as a human being, please stop thinking you got time, because we don't know when, we don't know where, we don't know how, but we need to be ready. Please make sure you're ready. If you have accepted Christ, stop messing around. The Bible tells us that only the righteous shall, that the righteous shall scarcely make it in. They're going to be pleading. You know, the word says they're going to be saying, Lord, Lord. And I think I just said this yesterday or the day before. I was like, Lord, Lord, you know, didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? I can't even imagine trying to plead my case to God, because I'm thinking about all the time I done messed up. All the time when I said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to get this thing right. And you die. And now you're really going to be one of those people standing up in front of God. What could you possibly say to him? What could you possibly say to him? When he had been so gracious to you, giving you everything. You know, not only did you wake up, but you woke up with brand new tender mercy. Part of that slate was wiped clean. What did you do with it? I've seen some people who have accepted God. You would, to look at them, you're like, now which God is this? How do you get so twisted when you've given, quote unquote, God your life? Is this a joke? You know, I keep hearing, I'm going to get it right. I'm so sick of hearing. I have to tell you, I'm so sick and tired of hearing, I'm going to do this right. I'm going to get this right. Stop! Stop taking God for granted. Stop assuming that I'm going to have that time to get it together. You have bypassed that time. You bypassed that time already. We are really and literally living on the mercy on the mercy of God. Stop. Stop walking around talking about what you gonna do right. Quiet. Let me help you understand something. God is never going to expect you to do something that you are not capable of doing. I don't care what you think. I don't want to hear it's hard. And, oh, you know, I just got to get myself together. Stop. Now, my mother used to say, Stephanie, I'm going to get this thing right. And I said, Ernie, please, stop. Stop. And I wonder many a day, I say to myself, what was she thinking when she couldn't talk to anybody anymore? When she couldn't call Steph and say, I'm going to do this right. What were you thinking? And I used to pray all the time. You know, God, she can't talk to us. She got a ventilator. She's got a ventilator going on, and she can't talk. But, God, I'm asking you to help her turn her attention to you. During the time that she can't, you know, she can't talk to us anymore. She can't pick up the phone. Phone's right by her side. Please help turn her attention to you. And I pray it's not too late. That was a consistent prayer. I don't know how to wear a hole in the floor. Begging God. Begging God. Because this thing is not a joke. This thing is not a joke. I don't care how your relationship is with God. I don't care what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what you're going through. You can't live for anyone else. This is an independent thing. And I don't think we realize how gracious God is. If you are listening to the sound of my voice right now, we're blessed. We're more than blessed. We're more than blessed. Please. I can't even begin. If I could get on my hands and knees and beg you, cut it out. Cut it out. I look every day and hear all the stories about people who God is just blessing and blessing and blessing. And, you know, I've just said, you know, hey, you left church, come on back. You know, God is moving in your life. And let's be honest, you don't deserve this. But, because he's the God he is, the rain falls on the just as well as the unjust. But he has not forgotten that he's blessed you despite. So come on back. Start this thing all over again. Think about who got you here. How could you just ride this train of blessings and mercies and just walk around like he ain't did nothing? Yes, I'm saying it just like that. Like he's done nothing for you. How could we float around and forget that there's a great, big, mighty God who we serve here on earth, that if it weren't for him, children wouldn't have, we wouldn't have, our loved ones wouldn't have? How many times has he spared us on the road and we should have been dead? How many times have we been walking and we should have been dead? How many times we're in a toxic place and we should have been dead? And we knew we weren't supposed to be there. How much unprotected sex have we had in our lives? And, man, all we got to show for it are the kids. That's it. That's it. We didn't get HIV, we didn't get something else, and I got to tell you, you know, I always said condoms and things like that, it can't protect you from the biggest, the biggest problem, and that's the transference of spirits. That condom ain't going to do a thing for you. Might stop you from getting HIV and other sexually transmitted diseases, but it ain't going to stop you from the biggest thing. It may keep you from having a baby. But when we intermingle, and it makes life just that much harder. That's why I'm bringing it up. You know, when you got to deal with you, that's one thing. But when you're bringing in all of these spirits from these people who slept with other people, and the Bible tells us once we intermingle with the prostitute, we become one. And we just add more confusion and chaos inside. Come on this side of the fence. You know, we always talk about this side of the fence. Come on to this side of the fence this morning if you haven't already done so. Let God do something in your life, for your life, with your life. Thank you. Get those pens and papers out. Note taking time. We're talking about the poisonous foods we eat daily. See, look at that. You know, is God watching out for us or what? Poisonous foods we eat daily. Tomatoes. They say the leaves and the stems of tomatoes have a poison called alkali, A-L-K-A-L-I, that can cause your stomach to be agitated. They say you would need to consume a huge amount of quantities for it to be fatal, so don't worry, but avoid eating the tomato leaves. All right, so if you thought, you know, having a little leaf or two wouldn't matter, yeah, it does. It does. All right, number two, fruit. Seeds. Cherry pits, they say, for example, have a certain type of hydrogen cyanide called prussic acid. And they say you should never eat a cup of brown pit or peach or apricot pit, but don't eat the pits, period. Cyanide, poisonous. All right? Cashews. They say the raw cashews you find in the supermarket are not actually raw because they've been steamed to remove a chemical that's also found in poison ivy. High levels of this poison chemical can prove to be fatal. So they say, so people who are allergic to poison ivy are likely to have a fatal allergic reaction to eating actual raw cashews as well. So stay away. Rhubarb. They say rhubarb leaves include oxalic acid, which can cause kidney stones. It might take a large amount of these leaves to be considered poisonous, but don't do it. You know, they're talking about large amounts of these things, but they're letting you know that even having these things in small amounts can be fatal possibly, or could make you really sick. Because think about it, we don't know what else we're consuming that may collide with that. We don't know our own personal health, you know, and how your health changes on a regular basis. So what you were able to eat 2 weeks ago, you may not be able to eat. You know, for those who have developed allergies, at one time they could eat these things, or they were not, excuse me, allergic. But now they are. So it had to be a day when you became allergic, right? Right. So don't eat these things at all, okay? Next, tuna. They say we've all heard about the mercury that the fish can absorb. Once in your body, the mercury will either pass through your kidneys or travel to your brain and supposedly drive you insane. They say the FDA recommends children and pregnant women not consume tuna at all. Now, they say while it's unlikely that eating a huge amount of tuna in one sitting will kill you, monitor your weekly intake of this poisonous food. Children and pregnant women not consume tuna at all. Didn't I just say that? I said that because, again, your body is not ready to handle these toxins. All righty? What else are they telling us about? Nutmeg. Ooh. Nutmeg. Do you know that nutmeg was a hallucinogenic? Hallucinogenic. It's even been said that eating just 0.2 ounce of nutmeg may lead to convulsions, and 0.3 could lead to seizures. Wow. Okay, we need to throw the nutmeg out in this cabinet. Oh, raw honey. I know a lot of people who, they run for that raw honey. Unpasteurized honey usually contains granoxetine that can lead to weakness, dizziness, excessive sweating, nausea, and vomiting lasting for up to 24 hours. Typically, just one teaspoon of concentrated granoxetine may cause the symptoms above. Woo! Definitely do not consume multiple tablespoons of this, they say. Wow. And I'm telling you, I know people who go for that raw honey. I can't eat regular honey. I can't eat raw honey. Ooh, babe. Potatoes. Wow. Now, I can't pronounce this, so I'm going to spell it for you. Ready? G. LYCOALKALOIDS. Glycoalkaloids. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, but you got the spelling, so you figure it out. That's also found in nightshade. Can be found in potatoes, leaves, in the potatoes, leaves, stems, and sprouts. It may also build up in a potato if left too long in the light. Eating this, here, this gly, will likely lead to cramping, diarrhea, headaches, or even coma and death. They say it's rumored that just 3 to 6 milligrams per kilogram of body weight could be fatal. It would also help if you avoided potatoes that have a greenish trace. Oh, I've seen that. Now, I cut it off, but they say avoid it altogether. Oh, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you you got to have prayer? Because I can't even imagine how many toxic things I've eaten. Yeah, because I have a hard time throwing out stuff. I'm going to try to salvage everything. Well, get rid of the potatoes that have the green on it. Almonds. They say there are two types of almonds, sweet almonds and bitter almonds. The bitter ones can contain relatively large amounts of hydrogen cyanide, making it a poisonous food. It's even been said that eating just 7 to 10 raw bitter almonds can cause problems for adults and could be fatal for children. Okay. Wow. Well, there you have it. The poisonous food that we eat every day. Almonds, potatoes, raw honey, nutmeg. Let's see what. Gotta go to another page. Tuna, rhubarb, cashews, fruit seeds, pick tomatoes, the green part. So, leave that stuff alone. Leave that stuff alone. Leave that stuff alone. All right, what are we talking about today? Oh, a couple had sex on a Ferris wheel, and they got a little more than what they thought. So they say that out in Cedar Point, Ohio, I don't know if you've heard of this, but this must be a huge, I've heard about this for years, huge amusement park. Well, there was a couple, both 32, who was caught having sex on the huge, giant Ferris wheel. And they say that they could be heard giggling and laughing as the cart swayed violently. So this is actually going on while the Ferris wheel is going round and round. They say the four witnesses, two children and two adults, were in nearby carts, and they could see the couple's private parts and knew, the couple knew that these people were watching them. Well, when the Ferris wheel came to a stop and they got off, they were arrested. Yep. They were arrested primarily for indecent exposure because it was done in front of children, and they've both been issued a first-degree misdemeanor as well. If they're found guilty, they're going to spend up to 180 days in jail. Now, as unpredictable as some of these rides have become, you really going to take a chance on riding, you know, on riding and something happened and you make it? No, that's all right. I'll pass. I shall pass. Well, I got a story for y'all this morning, and I want to hear from you. I want to hear 347-285-7777. Now, please let me hear from you today, because I'm really wondering about this one. So, Nike is facing a wrongful death lawsuit filed by a grieving mother whose son was murdered during a violent incident over a pair of sneakers. So here's the story in a nutshell. Basically what happened was this young man, he's 26 years old, he worked at a place called Shoe Palace, and they were having a raffle, and the sneakers, the Nike Dunk Low sneakers, were being raffled off. And he wasn't at work initially when it started, but when he got to work, the booth where this raffle was being held, his girlfriend and his coworker were both there. And there were a group of kids who were, you know, harassing them. So he decided that he was going to, you know, try to break up the melee. Somehow or another, you know, these kids ended up pulling out a gun, and he got shot and was pronounced dead later on at the hospital. And that's exactly what happened. Okay? He wasn't wearing his shoes. Nobody tried to take his shoes and all of that kind of stuff like they've done. They say up to 1,200 young Americans have died because of violence surrounding sneakers like Nikes, Air Jordans, and other popular sneakers. They say, and this has been since 2015, so it hasn't even been 10 years, and 1,200 children or young people have died because of this particular crime. And mom says that this is Nike's fault because they're aware of the proliferation of sneaker violence over the years in our neighborhoods, and they should not be able to walk away from this one. They should be held accountable. And she's definitely going after that. Okay? They say that the copy of the death certificate said that he died of a gunshot wound to the upper torso. And she's suing. She wants to include burial and funeral costs. And she said that they should know that the raffle was dangerous to have, and they should be held accountable. Now, again, this raffle was held at the place where he worked called the Shoe Palace. So my question to you is, should Nike be held accountable? Give me a holler, 347-285-7777, and I'll tell you what I'm thinking. But she says that she's not letting go of this lawsuit. So she's in for the long haul. Okay? All righty. What else are we talking about this morning? Again, we talk about parents being unprepared for their children's demise. So out in Martha's Vineyard, where the Jaws movie took place, they have a bridge. They call it the Jaws Bridge. Well, these two brothers, Tavares and Tavon Bogan, they were 26 and 21, along with two other people, assuming young people as well, decided that they were going to have some fun. That's what they said. They were just out to have a good time. And they jumped off the bridge. Well, that didn't go too well, because the current they could not fight up against. And they are both now gone. And they only found one body so far. The other body, you know, is presumed to be, you know, dead as well. They can't figure out why this was, you know, a way that they figured they could have some fun. They come from a family in Jamaica, the country of Jamaica, where the father has a ministry, and they were working here on a regular basis and sending money back to help fund the ministry. And their parents were in Jamaica when they found out, and they had to immediately take them to the hospital. I'm sure. They said the parents were in absolute shock over the tragedy, and they couldn't handle it. They both had to be taken to the hospital. You know, again, you know, we've talked about this tons and tons and tons of times when it comes to these TikTok challenges and things like that. And I can't say that I'm reading that here, but the point I'm trying to make is, you know, young people's version of having fun is just real twisted at times. I can't imagine jumping off a bridge is fun. I can't. And, you know, maybe they said, well, you know, you're 56, Stephanie, so you wouldn't know. I'm sorry. When I was 26, when I was 22, this didn't sound like a good idea. You know, they were both renting a home in Martha's Vineyard while working at a restaurant on the island for the summer. And, again, you know, they were well-loved. They were good boys. Nobody had any problems with them. You know, they're not assuming any drugs were involved, just melee. And it's like, yo, oh. You know, they're saying that they were both musical prodigies and they were gifted athletes. Then my thing is, why you weren't out rehearsing and practicing that? Come on, when you're, you know, one of the things I always say when parents have children, you know, who are into the arts or sports and things like that. And when I see children performing, and even if they don't look that great, you know, I always give God thanks, because I'm like, you know what? They're not in trouble. because in order for you to be able to, you know, become great at what you do, and in order to, you know, really enhance your craft or skill, that takes practice, rehearsal, discipline, blah, blah, blah. You know, you ain't got no time for to be doing dumb stuff. Wow, what happened here? You know, like, well, yo, come on. They say y'all got the heads on your shoulders. And where was your head? Because I don't know what the other two people were like. They didn't mention, you know, the type of people they were. And I guess this really got a lot of attraction because they were brothers and they had such a good reputation. Yeah. So you have a picture of the two of them. You know, and you got a 26-year-old brother who can't talk the 21-year-old brother out of it. Or you got the 21-year-old brother who can't talk the 26-year-old brother out of it. You know, I just tell you, just let me go first. That's all I'm saying. I said this here, you know, we talked a little while ago about something that happened as an accident. And this is an accident as well, but was this a preventable accident? There's a difference. There's a huge, huge difference. Okay? All right, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that with the Duke Town Crew. We can stop there because we got some other stuff. You know, we do have a topic that we have this morning. So let's say good morning to our brother Al. Good morning, brother Al.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning to you too. Now, before we go any further, is there a quote you'd like to say?
Yes. And that quote is, keep smiling because life is a beautiful thing and there's so much to smile about. And that's by Marilyn Monroe.
All right, Marilyn came through this morning. Nice quote, brother Al. Nice.
Thank you very much.
All right, we got a couple of things that we're talking about here, and we've got. Let's do that one second. The two brothers, 26 and 21, who thought it would be fun to jump off of. You know, the bridge, and I don't know what the plan was. I guess, you know, they would figure they jump off the bridge and they kind of go with the flow of the current. Well, the current worked against them, and they found one brother. He was gone. They have not been able to find the other brother, and I don't know about even the other two people because they said that they had to stop looking because it was just so bad out there, and they would pick back up again. I don't know, Brother Al. You know, these kids and their mode of fun is real questionable and concerning. What do you think?
Oh yeah, most definitely. You know. When we work with the kids, I see a lot of craziness. And these kids these days, they won't back down from challenges. I mean, all types of craziness go on. And and these kids just, I'm going to accept that challenge. Or I'm going to do this because my friends ain't going to think I'm cool. And the stuff they come up with, Pastor Steph, you'd sit back and be like, really? Who came up with this? And the kids will follow immediately. Immediately, kids will follow. Just to show you one quick thing, right? Here at the school, I had to snatch this little kid up and bring him to the office. He went around and he started a failing grades club. And he had at least 20 kids with him. I said, are y'all serious?
Wow.
Are y'all serious right now?
Wow.
Why would you do it? And the question was, why? And they can't answer. And so I got the one who started. I said, that's what you want to be? You want to be a failure? Oh, but Mr. Al, this is a joke. I said, well, you see me laughing because it wasn't funny. So, you know, to see these kids do this craziness, And they don't realize what you've done to your parents. You know, I know my son got killed in a car accident about 10 years ago. I still feel that to this day like it was yesterday. And he was coming from work. So if the worst thing is losing a child, I can't explain to you how that felt to lose a child, you know. And when I see these kids doing these challenges, and like I tell you, Pastor, the stuff they come up with, the newest thing they got now that I see, how they start stuff, it's just like to say you're walking down the street, you and Shantice walking down the street. Shantice, you know, she said a joke, but she say something smart in her mouth to you. So the next kid looked at you and be like, oh, Pastor Steph, me personally, if she would say that to me, I'll punch her in her jaw. That's the new thing they do now. So now that person's like, oh, yeah, you know what? That was slick, and I should punch her in her face. That's the new thing they do now. Everything is that. Oh, me personally, I wouldn't take him stepping on my foot. Me personally, he said that to me, I'll do this. That's a new thing now.
What?
So I'm telling you, Pastor, they come up with their crazy, and I'm sitting there looking at them like, are y'all serious? And what amazed me is all the kids will join right in. They join right in with it without thinking or nothing. Then when I bring them in the office to suspend them, oh, Mr. Al, please, no, please, nothing. You're getting suspended because you started with nothing.
Wow, that's crazy.
And you know what else? The danger, and what I don't understand is the danger stuff. You know, some years back I had a kid in my boys, the men mentoring program. And on the block out in Flatbush where we at, there was there's two buildings, maybe about three stories high. And the building had like this little gap between each other. And what I didn't know, the kids was going up there and seeing who could jump over the gap. And one of my kids, his brother, you know, I'd known him. He wasn't in the program just yet. He was coming, but I had his brother. So his younger brother goes up there with the kids and go jump and miss and fell to his death.
And then
there were some of my kids that I didn't know, they were doing it. And so we had a big meeting about that. And I'm like, why did y'all do that? Oh, Coach Allen, I won't do that no more. I said, but what in your mind made you think that that was okay? Because I try to get in their mind to figure out what made you think that that was okay to try to jump over the thing. Oh, where everybody else was doing it, and I could jump too, so I was sure. I was like, I said, but look at this young man. He's no longer here now.
Wow.
So they mind, they don't think, Pastor Steph, I'm sorry. They don't think somebody got something, and it becomes a trend so fast that everybody just start doing it.
Wow. This is just something else, you know. You hear of these things, and you just really want to know what is going on in your head that makes you think that you're invincible. Oh, my gosh. Woo! All right, Brother Al, Nike. You know, Mom says her son was killed when Nike held a raffle at his place of employment. And, you know, there was some melee going on with his girlfriend and co-worker. He tried to step in and defuse the situation. Oh, it got crazy out there. And a 16-year-old is now charged with his murder. And Mom says it's all Nike's fault. They should know better. You know, they know that, you know, these sneakers bring on violence. Why would you have this raffle? You should be held accountable. What's your thought?
First of all, I'm so sorry that young man lost his life. That's the first thing. I plead with her and her family because, like I said, I've lost a child, and that, man, that's something deep. Now, on the other hand, she could try to sue Nike, but she's not going to win that because the store decided to do a raffle. The store decided to do a raffle to raffle off a pair of Nikes, and 9 times out of 10, that was just to get, you know, business, to get people to come in. And and he didn't get killed because of Nike sneakers. He got killed because he stepped in an altercation that was happening with this young lady. You know, so if that's the case, then we need to sue for everything. When somebody get their pocketbook taken, somebody get their pocketbook snatched, or, you know, I really don't think she have a case at all. I really don't think
All right, so Brother Al says, nah, don't even try it. Thank you for joining us, Brother Al. We'll be back to again. Let's say good morning to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I am well. I'm well. How are you over there?
I'm all right. I'm doing quite well, thank you.
That's good. All right, Pastor KL, we got some, we got two stories that we're talking about today. And we're talking about, you know, these two young men, 21 and 26 brothers. And they thought that, you know, it was fun to jump off the bridge in Martha's Vineyard with two other people. And doesn't look like they made it. One did not make it at all. They found his body. The other brother, you know, as of the posting, they had not found him. They had to call off the search because it was just too dangerous to even get out there and look for him. And, you know, my thought is, you know, what makes this kind of stuff fun, you know, to think that, you know, they said they did not commit suicide. They were having fun. They just went out to have a good time. I don't know, Pastor KL, what goes on in these kids' heads?
I have no idea. I don't even understand. I don't know, you know, when I used to get in trouble and, you know, I say, well, you know, Johnny was doing it. And my mother would say, well, Johnny jumped off the bridge. You going to jump off it too? I guess so. I mean, I just don't understand how this copycat stuff goes. Because somebody does this, I'm going to do it, and we're going to get enjoyment out of it. I don't even see. I mean, I'm trying to put myself back in my earlier days where I can think of how this would be fun. I didn't want to jump in the pool off a diving board, let alone, you see what I mean? I just I just couldn't see it being fun.
Yeah, I couldn't either. I did the same thing you did. I was like, you know, again, people say, well, no, you wouldn't find it fun. You know, you're in your 50s. Well, I'm going to go back to when I was 21 and 26,
right.
And I don't think I could find that much fun either, Pascal. I cannot even imagine. So, unfortunately, here we are still at 26 years old. This seems fun to you. I don't know. Too bad, because they're supposed to be really good, good young men. All right. Nike. You heard the whole, you know, situation and, you know, the passing of this young man. And, of course, you know, we sympathize, you know, with her. But do you believe that she should sue Nike and hold them accountable?
Not at all. And again, like Brother Al said, you know, Nike didn't do the raffle. You know, not only that, you know, look at it. Every day, the day after Thanksgiving, they have what's called Black Friday. And people get trampled, people get slapped, people get all types of stuff, and yet they keep on going. You know, I mean, who you gonna sue then? Walmart? Target? Who are you suing then? The people who made the TV that Walmart put it on sale for? It's just, you know, and again, you know, you wasn't working. You was off of duty. You know, and you decided to go in and play hero. You know, that's the risk you took. Unfortunately, it didn't turn out so good, but who you gonna sue? This decision Joe Kyle made.
Right.
He made this choice.
Okay. Well, 347-285-7777. Let me know what you're thinking. Should Nike be held accountable for the death of this 26-year-old young man that was there at the raffle trying to help his girlfriend and coworker? All righty. Thank you, Pastor Kale, for joining us this morning. And we're going to talk to Sean Teese before we get started on our main topic. Good morning, Sean Teese.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I am well, thank you. So, Shanties, we have the two young men, 26 and 21 years old. Now, you're a little closer to their age than we are. Could you see this as a form of fun in any time of your life?
No. I'm telling y'all, it's safer in the clubs. In the clubs, you ain't got to jump over nothing.
Oh, goodness gracious. I don't know.
Nothing.
You know, I said earlier, you know, they said that they were gifted athletes and something else they were saying. And I said, you know, I always thought that, you know, when you, they were both musical prodigies and gifted athletes. And I'm going to go back to our gentleman and talk about that for a quick minute. But, you know, we're talking about staying busy. Staying busy, you know, I'm always one that, you know, yesterday we watched Mariah and her little show, Camp.
Yes.
And it came across, what'd you say?
I said, yes, little Jenny Jackson, yes.
You know, I was saying, you know, when I was looking at the kids, boy, you know, thank God for these programs because it does a couple of things. One, it teaches them, you know, what they can do. You know, it brings some interest level sometimes, you know, when they get into that mode, they figure, hey, you know, I can do this. Number three, it keeps them busy. You know, they're not out doing dumb stuff. And as we've, you know, covered many stories where, you know, even little kids have gotten into just little dumb stuff. You know, what's your thought on, you know, they say they're musical prodigies, gifted, what do you call it? Gifted athletes. Should that have helped to kind of curtail some of this crazy TikTok and stuff that they do?
Absolutely. Because, again, like you said, if I'm in these programs, if I'm in these extracurricular activities, you know, I was shocked. There's been a couple of parents I've reached out to, you know, get their kids to join the kids ministry that God has entrusted me with, Transform Image Inc. And they, a few of them, even one yesterday, she said, oh, well, you know, my daughter is in, I think, the science club, or she's going to be in the science club because she's into space and science now. And she kind of chuckled. And I was just like, okay, well, tell her to come on one day and see how she likes it, you know, because the good thing is we're not competing with the Space and Science Club because we ain't talking about nothing earthly like in that aspect. But I was really kind of like thrown because, you know, a lot of these schools are cutting programs and, you know, extracurricular activities, and unless one of the teachers or faculty members decide to just take their personal time and not look for any pay, unless they decide to stay after school or, you know, do something during school hours, these kids don't really have anything. So if you're a part of any type of activity like that, then there is a nice chunk of your time that's devoted to either talking to or being with the other members of those activities, practicing or rehearsing, researching, or, you know, having your alone time with reading if it entails something with reading. So for you now to have the time to think to do this shows either A, your club ain't really about nothing, or you just really went out your way to make the time to think of something like this. Because this was just crazy.
Yeah. That was my thought. That was my thought. You know, really, really nice thought. My thought, rather. I'm sorry. Let's talk about this Nike case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lawsuit. Does mom have a legitimate claim, according to you? Should she be holding Nike responsible?
No. Hold the store. If something broke out, then the store wasn't up on their security as they should have been. So the store was negligent, like it was said. You know, they decided to hold this event, small or large. And unfortunately, when you decide to have an event, especially nowadays, and this is why a lot of people don't hold outdoor events as much as they would like to, because it's very hard to tame who attends. You can't stop nobody from doing no drive-by. It's just like when you have stuff indoors, it's a lot. It's less likely that something can break out if you're covering all your bases. But you still do take that risk. So, unfortunately, you're going to have to aim for the smaller group, which is the store, as it was said, because they decided to do this, which it should have been a 1-2-3 thing, eventless, but because of the world we live in, if you're going to have something where, because sometimes you need security for the employees, but if you're going to have something where you're opening, seriously, it's like, okay, we having a meeting, let's call so-and-so in here to man the door, man, you know, because I know people who I know of, and I think I'm vaguely remember hearing of, like, so, you know, if you have, you work somewhere and you have a meeting at your job, and it may be before the store opens, or if the store is just closed for that day, or however, and people will bring their people to the meeting, and it's like, are you bringing them because you want them to apply, and you want them to get a feel of how the meeting go? How do you bring outside people your meeting like you came to a rap cypher? Like, I'm not understanding. Only employees should be here. So, unfortunately, the store management and whomever decided to do this didn't cover all their bases. They didn't have the proper security or whatever. So, I would say if you're going to aim for someone, if you do your research and investigation and you see that, you know, like Pastor KL said, that this was a little more than just your son deciding to insert himself into a situation, then go directly for the venue. You can't really go to Nike. Because if that's the case, you might as well sue Michael Jordan for all the times people done got robbed and slapped and all that, waiting online to buy his sneakers.
Yeah. You know, sometimes people are just so desperate. You know, they think of money. Yes, you step up to Nike because Nike got the money. So of course she's going after Nike. I'll weigh in on as to what I think in my closing. But thank you so much for joining us. Give me a minute. I want to go back a little bit to Brother Al. Brother Al, you know, you've had your mentoring programs and things like this, your basketball programs. And again, my thought was, you know, these boys were gifted athletes and musical prodigies. You know, if you're a gifted athlete, that means you had to put some time in to get this done. You know, how does your mind now go to do some crazy stuff if, you know, we're accustomed to focusing and practicing and, you know, honing in on our craft?
Again, these kids want to fit in. And hey, when we think about it, yeah, these kids, you got some musical talent, you got some sport talent. Why are you going to do craziness? And that, again, still has me baffled because just a quick story. I had a guy that played for me. He was in the 10th grade. He was in, I believe, South Shore High School, I believe it was. Pastor Seth, this young man did everything I asked him to do. His grades was excellent. He didn't cause no problem. He was the number one track runner. Or he was on his track team, the number one track runner in the country on the top basketball team. So this kid had it going on. But little did I know, when the night came, he was like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. At night, he was out there robbing people. And when they told me, I said, "You sure this guy?" I'm like, "Are you sure this guy right here?" He's like, "Coach, I'm telling you." And I go to him, I said, "Bro, what's going on? You need to talk to me." "Nah, coach, I'm doing okay." And you would not know because his grades was good. He's the number one track runner. So you know he got to concentrate on keeping his body right because he's the number one in the country. He out there robbing people past and stuff. And finally, somebody gave him a gun that had priors on it. He got caught with the gun. He did 10 years. They gave him 16 years old. They straight up gave him 10 years in prison. He just got out before the pandemic. So I didn't even know he came to see me. I didn't even know who he was because remember, the last time I saw him, he was 16. So now he's 27.
Wow.
And he comes and he sees me. And I'm like, wow, this kid looks familiar. And he just ran up and hugged me. And I was like, man, how you doing, man? And he was like, wow, you know, he said, all these years, coach, I just want to tell you I apologize for the nonsense that I was doing. And I'm just like, wow. So, you know, the purpose of me sharing the story is because it doesn't matter. If these kids want to do stuff to fit in, it don't matter what they're doing. What's more important to them is what their friends think about them.
Wow, friends will say,
you know what, you a punk. Oh, you ain't going to do that? Oh, man, you soft. They don't want to hear that. And see, when we was growing up, it was different. I know, speaking for me, I didn't do a lot of things because I was more scared of what my parents was going to do to me.
You know? Right.
That's what I was. You know, I feared like, man,
right.
If I do this and, man, I get caught, I prefer to have my friends call me name than to get beat up by my dad.
So y'all can call me names. I can deal with the name, but I ain't trying to deal with that beat up. And that's one of the things, too. These kids are not afraid of the parents no more.
Right.
So they
just do.
And that's still back to me. And I'm looking at this guy. And, you know, I use him as an example because I'm like, this kid had everything going for him. I said, bro, you're the number one track runner in the country. Not in the state. In the country.
Wow.
And you go out here doing nonsense. So... It's crazy. I'm still baffled on it.
Wow. Ooh, thank you. You know, Pastor Cal, I kind of switched gears here a little bit, and I was looking at an article, and it says that, you know, there's a listing of challenges that gifted children face. And I thought that would be a nice topic for us to kind of segue into, you know, using this as a segue into this particular topic, because the three of you have your gifts and the three of you know what it is to have to buckle down and, you know, do what it takes to make, you know, it happen, to hone in on your craft and, you know, focus and things like that. So I wanted to kind of pick your brains today, and we will have a pray for them today, so we won't be as long. But Brother Al brought up something that I see here, and I don't want to take, you know what, I don't want to take the opportunity away from you, Pastor KL, to say and talk about what Shantisa and Brother Al talked about. You know, what do you think is the issue with people who are gifted? They were gifted athletes and musical prodigies, and normally we would see them, you know, focusing on honing in on their craft and getting better and rehearsals and practices and things like that. What do you think goes wrong that would make them jump off a bridge for fun?
Well, I'm going to take it a different way, being that, you know, I come from a past. My mother sang with Patti LaBelle and Gloria Gaynor and such people like that, and then she realized that I can sing. You know, my mother actually realized I could sing before I wanted to sing. Remember, I talked about a story how I used to dance to ballet and all this other nonsense. But sometimes when your people see the gift in you, you know, they begin to see themselves in you. So they push you and push you and push you. You look at the story of Michael Jackson and his dad. You know what I'm saying? They push you to that level, and then you kind of just go with the flow. You know what I mean? At first, you know, singing never interested me. You know what I mean? But they kept on pushing and pushing and pushing, and this was a requirement. And, you know, I literally had to rehearse 6 hours a day. You know what I mean? And then I started to see the benefits of it. However, I stopped being a child. You know, I stopped going out and playing with the fellas and, you know, doing this kind of stuff. And then sometimes, you know, I'm just looking at these gentlemen because they're gifted, depending on how much they were into their craft, sometimes you just want to woosah, you know, step out of the box and be a kid or do something else, do something crazy that nobody would expect me to do. Or someplace where I can just be by myself, just me and my brother or whatever, And you, I mean, they didn't do it with the intent of dying. You know, sometimes you do stuff just to come out of the normality in your life, of the insanity in your life, of the ritual and the routine. You know, you're going to come home, do homework, and then you got to get straight into your craft. Sometimes, you know, the benefits are great behind it, but the process is ruined.
Wow. Wow. Something to think about. Something to think about. Wow. Well, thank you for that that view. Thank you for that view. All right. So we've got this list of things that gifted children or athletes, you know, they struggle with. And let's talk about control issues. Brother Al, they say that, you know, these gifted athletes and, you know, things like that, they struggle with control issues. How true is that for you and your knowledge?
When you say control, are they talking about, like, controlling yourself?
Well, however control comes across to you. Is it a controlling yourself, having control? Look at what Pastor KL just said. You know, that's another issue of control. He didn't have control. You know, he was just told this is what you're going to do. You're going to sit and sing for 6 hours a day. Well, there's no control in that. You're being told. On the other hand,
right,
you
right.
Just brought a level of control. So whatever way you want to talk about it, you bring it up.
I would say yes, definitely. You know, as far as even with me growing up playing basketball, you know I wasn't going to be but a certain height. You know, I'm not getting past 5'7". I'm 5'8½, and I'm not getting no taller. So being that short, I had to practice more. And like Pastor Kale said, you know, sometimes the parents don't understand, you know, be like, all right, okay, I practiced enough. But if you want to be the best, you got to give up something. You got to practice this. So now you back to practicing. You don't get that time to really be a kid or get to play with your friends. So you in here working out and you doing this, and you're looking out the window, your friends are them out there playing. You know, even me and my dad were working. You know, my dad had me working when I was in the sixth grade. My dad had his own little construction group. So in the sixth grade, I said, what you about, 10? You know, I was out there doing construction work, you know. And so here I am trying to, you know, I'm getting up 5 o'clock in the morning going to work, and my friends out there playing. I come home, I'm too tired to go out and play, you know. And that was an issue for me, like, wow, you know, I hate this. But, you know, as I got older, like, wow, I got a craft. I can fix things in my house. I can do things. But, you know, doing that, it was an issue. So, yes, that's definitely an issue, control.
Okay, okay. Pastor KL, you brought up a level of control. Can you think of another issue of control that gifted, you know, children have?
Yeah, I mean, there really is no control because it's in your psyche that you have to be great. By any, and you know what? And this is also with, you know, A students who people are educated. You know, they don't want to let folks down. You know, when you start getting A's and you bring home a B, it's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. You know, and to us as the regular folks, we're like, hey, a B. Run with it, you know, but when you, hey, your mindset is I have to be great at all times. And that can be a dangerous place. I mean, it's well-pleasing at the end, but that could be a dangerous place because a lot of times, you know, for youngsters, when they don't do as well as people expect them to do, they contemplate suicide because they think that they failed someone, you know. So the control right there, just the mental control of it. Thinking about a child who's just, you know, he wants to be a child, but he don't want to let daddy down. You know what I'm saying? Especially if you're a mama's boy or you're a daddy's girl, you don't want to let these folks down. And if you get less than what they expect you to have, you know, you feel it for yourself as a failure. So that's a sense of mental control.
Wow. You all are bringing up some good stuff. Shanti, you know, the gifted, hey. You know, they find that they have control issues. What's that about?
yeah, my mind first went to, like, again, when you, when you, okay, so you're a part of these activities or groups or clubs, and I don't know why this has been standing out to me, and I don't know if it's because, you know, ever since you had us working on our dance for the church celebration, and, you know, we kept getting so annoyed with Mariah, you know, at one point because of, like, she wasn't trying as hard, and the three of us, you know, separately would ask Mariah, like, aren't you in dance school? You're in dance school. Like, what's the problem? And then reflecting back to her performance when we went to her recital, you know, of course, it was nice. You saw their sportsmanship, and they cheered each other on, and, you know, they looked like they were having fun, which was one of the most important things because, you know, they're still babies. It's not like we went to see a bunch of teenagers perform. However, with growing up the way I grew up, when it came to getting up on that stage, there was no type of real discipline or structure, and you could tell within that dance program. And it really showed once we had her here working on our dance. Like, we keep getting on her, like, aren't you in dance school? And then I remember, Pastor Steph, I really had to say to you at one point, well, let's reflect back to the recital. There was no real technique going on in the routine that she was in. And for some reason, even with you bringing this point about control, when you, okay, so let's keep her as the example. So now I'm in this dance program and there's no real techniques and stuff there. And now I come to people who know what it is to have technique. I don't care if I'm on stage for 2 seconds. There are a million and one rehearsals to prepare me for those 2 seconds, because every point 1 second matters as soon as you hit that stage or that floor, whatever you're performing. And now, even as a child, I feel like there has to be some level of control. And I guess it goes back to what Pastor K.O. said, because of the level, not only the level of expectation that I feel others have on me, but now the level of expectation I put on myself. So now, even without me thinking to get to the point where I do something like these boys did, you know, there's still a lot that's going on in my psyche, you know, still a lot. And at the same time, it could benefit, because I don't know if you noticed, Pastor Steph, but the dance routine we saw her in yesterday looked better than what we saw her in a couple months ago. Right. And I like to believe it's because of the way we were working with her here. You know, but when you're talking about having that control, it's like now I try to control myself to where, okay, so and then it's almost like, I remember I worked at Cheesecake Factory, and we always used to go out to eat and drink after the shift. And there was one server who all he did was work and school. And one night we were going out, we were at Fridays. And someone said, so-and-so, don't you have class in a few hours? And he's like, listen, I need to come here and get a drink, because if all I do is stay working and going to school, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to lose my mind. I need some type of fun going, you know. So he felt like he was losing control. And when he said it, it made a whole lot of sense to me. But you have to realize, too, that even with them being in these activities, you have to teach them how to have the proper balance, because once you feel like you're out of control, you do take a chance of now your mind going wherever, especially if you're not disciplined in other areas of your life. Your mind will go, unfortunately, to new heights, which would possibly lead to them deciding to make that move.
Okay. Wow.
You know what, Pastor Steph? If I can just interject, because, I mean, that is a great thought about, you know, when Shanti said, you know, and again, you know, I'm older than Shanti, but, you know, but we come from the era, you know, the musical era. So we think a lot different from the children now. You know what I'm saying? The children now, hey, we just gonna do it, we gonna dance, we gonna sing, la 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 la. They don't think structure. You know, I remember going into music when I was high school, and we didn't sing English until our senior year. We sang every other language until our senior year.
Wow.
We didn't speak English until our senior year. You know what I mean? You had to know Italian your first year, French your sophomore year, and German your junior year. You didn't get to speak English or sing English until your last year. So that's a whole different kind of structure. So I guess my question would be, you know, just as John T said, you know, sometimes when you got all that on you, you know, and remember at that point, I'm like, what I need to say Italian for? I'm never going to Italy. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it helped me in the long run. However, you know, to Shanti's point, is this why people turn to alcohol? Is this why people turn, you know, to weed? You understand what I'm saying? Is this why people turn to these kind of things to kind of take the edge off or make them feel better from all the pressure that's on them? There's a lot of pressure.
That makes sense. Right. It makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. And it is a lot of pressure because there was a guy who used to go to church, and, you know, he would do the street dances. But when we got to the point where it was time to teach a dance, he had such difficulty learning the dance routine. And we were like, but you're always dancing. And then I had to remember, as a person who's been trained over the years, you know, what you do independently is one thing. But when you got to sit down and, you know, when you play piano, it's not just playing the piano. You had to learn piano theory. You had to learn the notes. And you had to learn how all the notes were. And I know Auntie Pam used to always say, I can't count. And yet she was counting. But she's comparing herself to my grandmother, who was like a master at counting, who had piano lessons for a quarter, you know. But, you know, this is, it's not just sitting down and singing, you know. If you're singing, regardless of what language, you still got to learn the theory. If you have to learn to read the music, you know, it was, and I watched him, and I'm like, how in the world are you so twisted when it's, and then I thought, discipline, Stephanie, discipline. He's not disciplined. He didn't, you know, he had to, Shanti always imitates a particular move where we actually, it was two beats, but he made it one because he could not get that time in together. So, like, you know, both, it's that's control. That's having, you know, I'm dead serious. It would be one, two movements, but he made it into one because he just couldn't catch that beat. And for everybody else, it was a no-brainer. So, you know, when I thought about it, I was like, when you go back into your own, you know, mind, and when you play, you know, your instruments and you sang or whatever, you know, and I can read a little bit of music, you know, that's some discipline. And because you gotta, there's many levels of control there, how you control yourself, how you control and keep yourself in order control. This control thing is real broad. So all three of you brought out very different levels of control, and that's key to your psyche. Really, really keep your psyche, and will help where you go and what you do outside of those times of practice and winding down, and versus, you know, when you got to be, you know, training and things like that. So I'm really actually enjoying this. And it's bringing out a lot of different things for me as well. One of the things that I definitely, well, we don't have much more time, and we're definitely going to hit this next week, God spares, because I actually like this. Let's talk about self-esteem issues. As gifted and as talented as people are, they still have self-esteem issues. And we're going to start with you, Brother Al.
What people don't understand when you're in a certain field or certain things that you do, you know, they look at it and say, okay, wow, you're good at that. You're really good at that. But, and they think that because you're good at something that you got it all together. Everything is in place. You know, even good as I played basketball, you know, I was still scared to talk to women. You know, I just was scared. You know, when I went to college and I looked, And I was like, man, there's a lot of beautiful women here, but I probably ain't going to have no girlfriend. I probably going to go this whole 4 years with no girlfriend. That was my thought at first. And I don't know. I don't know why it happens, but people in their mind, when they see that you're good at something, they think, okay, everything is perfect. You're good at this. You shouldn't have a problem getting women. But I was scared to talk to women. You know, I was scared to talk to them. So, yeah, that is an issue.
Well, I bet you still wish you were afraid to talk to them.
Yeah, that wasn't a cool pastor stuff. That wasn't cool pastor stuff.
Too bad they keep their problem longer.
I know, right? Just stayed a little bit longer, I'd have been all right.
Right? Another couple of years wouldn't have hurt. Oh, my goodness. Good point, brother. Good point. Shanti.
Yeah.
You know, self-esteem issues, no matter how good you may be at a craft.
Yes. It's funny. You know, God put it on your heart to bless me with the position of being the praise and worship leader at our church. Amen. And, you know, when you said it to me, it was like not surprising, but kind of surprising, because, you know, it wasn't would I be, if we had a praise and worship team, would I be a part of it? Because that's just always been one of my strengths. But because of the high level of self-doubt that I've always had, it always left, you know, me lagging. And, you know, again, when you said it to me, it still kind of caught me off guard. And when I was in here rehearsing last night, and I was getting a little frustrated with myself because there were certain notes that I was, like, messing up on, and then I just started, like, just singing without really concentrating, and I noticed I was doing better with hitting, you know, remembering which notes I'm supposed to hit. And then I thought about, like, when I was in the group, the singing group, and it wasn't until we got with Kenny, the vocal trainer, that I really started to sing. And it's because he really pulled at each of us, not just me, but he really, like, without us noticing it and without him making it obvious, he really pulled at what we made noticeable to him, where our self-confidence was really lacking. So for me, it was, I kept telling myself I can't sing a certain way, and I didn't realize I was comparing myself a lot to Tasha, comparing myself a lot to Sharifa. And it wasn't until he started dealing with me a certain way, and I was like, oh, I could sing that verse? Oh, I could, you know, do this? And you don't reach your potential until you start believing that you're able to. And especially when you're talking about being a part of something or doing something that has you in front of people. And, you know, we always say kids are the best performers because they just don't care. They go out there with one ponytail. They go out there because their whole thing is, if this is what I want to do, I'm going to go out there and do it. And it could be a hit or miss, but you're going to tell that you're going to tell, like, my stage presence and everything is going to overshadow if I really can't sing, because my presence alone, my confidence alone is just going to have you appreciating my presence up on the stage. You know, so when you don't have self-confidence, again, back to that cheating yourself, you're really cheating yourself out of opportunities. You're really cheating yourself out of you knowing how good God has really made you, because you keep suppressing yourself. You keep bringing yourself down, and you don't even try to get, you know, some people, they're natural with it. You know, some people, it doesn't mean you don't have it. You just may have to work at it a lot more. Me, I'm not the type where I don't sing 3 years and then I'm going to be on American Idol stage. No, I may have to sing about 3-4 times first, drink some tea, and then I'll be able to, you know, to go up there. And it is what it is, you know, but you have to understand what you possess and really live up to that, because if you continue to just lag in this self-doubt and everything, you're never going to reach where God has really, you know, placed you on the scale of your talent. You're always going to consider yourself a 3 when God says you're already a 10, and I'm about to make you even higher.
All right. Pastor KL, closing us out today, this self-esteem issue of gifted young people.
Well, first of all, I'm offended that after all these years, Shantice went to another vocal trainer.
Oh, my gosh, you ain't even in New York anymore.
Okay. But it's okay. I see where the love is. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. but this is what I would say. They say when you lose a certain sense, that another sense gets heightened. So I say that because though I was a pretty good singer back then, you know, my rap game or my speaking game, I was kind of insecure about that. So everybody knows I would walk down the street, I would get on the train, and do nothing but singing, because my singing is going to get your attention. And then what happens is that you're going to come and speak to me because you're interested in what I'm doing. And then at that point, because I have your attention, I can do what I need to do. But I wouldn't just go and approach you, you know, saying if you was a beautiful girl or whatever. I would search the area, look out the area, and notice you before you notice me, and then made you notice me. So there was, you know, some folks have to do different things in order for different things to work. You know, so that's what I would do. I knew once I got your attention, I can speak to you. You know, but just coming right out to speak to you, I wouldn't do that. But I knew that my gift, all in Asia, will make room for me.
Pastor KL, I thought that was only me. That's what I used to do. Well, not with singing, but that was my technique. I would never come and talk to you, but I knew exactly what to do to get your attention.
Amen. Amen.
These are notes for another episode of In My Former Life. thank you so much. I really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much for all of your contributions today, and we pray you have a blessed day.
Likewise.
You too.
All righty, thank you. All right, Shantice, you've got to pray for them today. We're coming down to the last few moments. What you got for us?
All right, I'm going to condense this because this was a lot. Okay, so we all heard, whether you're a believer or a non-believer, whether you like Jesus or not, whether you believe you need to go to church or not, everyone heard about Bishop Lamar Whitehead and this sus robbery that took place, what was this, 2 months ago? Almost 2 months ago? Okay, so since then, as many of you already know, he has been undergoing a lot of scrutiny. A lot of commentary has been hitting YouTube and every social media platform, for multiple reasons, one of the main reasons being because they believe this was staged, and they believe it was staged because of, I never saw the footage, and I ain't have to, because just listening to everybody, it just sounds sus. And because of his former, quote-unquote, former life, of him being incarcerated for identity theft and so on and so forth. Okay. The reason why, because I was going to talk about somebody else, but then a few things was brought to my attention by someone very early this morning regarding Bishop Lamar Whitehead. And Pastor Steph, I will send you the link. Bishop Whitehead did an interview with Fat Joe, who, to my understanding, is now looking to get into ministry himself. I don't know. Yeah. But then again, we had Mace as a pastor one time. So I don't know. But he's looking, and that wasn't the basis of him interviewing Bishop Whitehead. But he brought that up a couple of times. And one of the things, I wrote down some points as to why we need to pray for Bishop Whitehead outside of the very obvious. So when the person called me last night and was talking to me about this, I said, well, I want to listen to one of his sermons just to, you know, and I kind of already had in my mind, like, it wasn't really going to be about nothing. But I was like, let me see. Now, when you pull him up, if you Google him, one of the first pictures that comes up is he is in this really weird shade of yellow Gucci suit. Now, I know we do embroidery, but I don't believe I would sit around with this suit with embroidery literally on every part of this suit to the point where you have to wonder if there's any material at all, or was the whole suit just made out of thread. It was just ridiculous. So flashy. And okay, let me just get to the point, because Pastor Steph, you have to pray, because we got to pray for him. Okay, so the first concern is that Bishop Whitehead says that scripture, no, I'm going to get to that last. He has an Instagram video of him driving around. First of all, he looks like Flavor Flav with all this jewelry on and this Junebug chain on and all this Gucci on. And he's riding around the street blasting this Jay-Z song with all type of explicit lyrics. And this is one of his posts on Instagram. So whether you're a bishop, pastor, minister, evangelist, whatever, for you to be posting this and Jay-Z cussing and Jay-Z talking about God is his engineer and student and all that, it was just too much. It was just too much. Then there's a Facebook post with him referencing a powerful verse from Proverbs 105:15. Now.
Whoa.
Now, I have never in my life, and I've grown up in church, I have never in my life been impressed with anyone who can say Matthew 6:9 says this or Genesis 1:1 says this, especially once I got baptized and started to develop my own relationship with God, because what really matters is, do you understand the proper meaning of these verses? When we go and you think, if you read the Bible, we are talking about you memorize, because I only memorize the verses that I need to help God check me. So I, please. Okay. But there is no chapter 105 in Proverbs. Proverbs only goes up to chapter 31.
Wow.
So what you meant to say was Psalms 105:15, but you need to see the post because he is so convicted and serious about this powerful verse from Proverbs 105:15. Okay? Then when he's on the interview with Fat Joe, he's speaking of making sure you have a changed mind and all of this stuff, right? But when he was asked, why is it that you're so flashy with your clothing and your jewelry, you don't see the need, and these words came out of his mouth, why not? Even if I was preaching to poor people, because it was brought up that he preaches to poor people, even if I preached to poor people, I would still wear my Gucci this and my Fendi that and all my jewelry, so on and so forth. But you're supposed to have a chain. And then he referenced Romans 12:2, which if y'all listen to the switch tips, that is one verse that stays repetitive throughout a lot of our switch tips, okay? When God says have a changed mind, he's going to change your mind about everything, maybe not all at once, but even if you don't change that yet, you start to see how God is about to address that change in a minute, okay? Then he told Fat Joe, because Fat Joe said, well, how did you become a bishop? And y'all have to read these comments when y'all see this vote. This interview. How did you become a bishop, and what do you have to do in order to become a pastor or a bishop? And then he's talking in circles this whole interview. He says, all you have to do is say yes. But there's a lot of preparation and stuff before you even get there. But all you have to do to become a pastor and a bishop is say yes. So I'm wondering, who did he say yes to? Okay. Then there was a scandal. I'm not sure, Pastor Steph, if you heard about it or if any of the listeners have heard about it, but there was a scandal with a young man by the name of Rasheen something. And it was a big thing that, again, he was clout chasing, meaning he was seeking attention, because this young man was apparently accused of murdering someone in a train station or something like that. And
yeah.
Yeah, and he, and the next thing that people knew was he was in some flashy suit, Bishop Whitehead was in some flashy suit holding a press conference, and it looked like he was clout chasing. So his response to that was no, the family, I think the family goes to his church, or somehow, very vaguely, he knows the family. The family contacted him because he was flashy, because he was already on his way somewhere, and he had to spontaneously run to meet them at the precinct because he has to call the powers that be, because he knows the mayor and he knows the commissioner, and because so many black men are getting killed, he told the mother, make sure he turns himself in and I'll meet you here, and so on and so forth. And when he got to the precinct, the people were already there. Reporters and stuff was already there. And that's how he got caught. Again, I didn't see this footage, but just listening to, because Fat Joe was mainly bringing up concerns, I guess, that he saw in comments and stuff, and was asking Bishop Whitehead to address it. By hearing both sides, again, this sounds sus, but he didn't really know the boy or really know the woman that well. Well, come to find out, a lady who he tried to swindle financially came and said that not only does he know the man, the young man well, he married the man and the wife. He performed the ceremony. And the young man is supposedly his spiritual son, which that is a phrase I'm getting very tired of very quickly. It was also his spiritual son. So how are these your spiritual children, but you don't know them like that? Okay. So the same lady who blew that up, he lied about that he's into real estate, because he said he doesn't take any money from the church. He doesn't get salary from the church. But... and I'm winding down past the stuff. He doesn't get salary from the church, but because of his many other businesses is how he's able to afford to look flashy and do all of this. And one picture I saw, he was standing outside his Rolls Royce, and it looked like he was outside the projects. But again, see, all the stuff is crazy. Okay. But he used to lie. She said he would lie and say that there was like 500 people in his group. Now, this group would be held via Zoom. She said there would never be no more than 40 people in this group. The group was supposed to be free, and what made her come out of the group was not only was supposed to be free, and he would ask for maybe like a $25 donation. Next thing she knew, he was asking for $500 and everybody's Social Security number so he could fix their credit. And ooh, she said she clicked off. Yeah, she clicked off and never went back on. If that wasn't sus enough, but especially with your background of identity theft. Okay? All right. Now, here was the thing that was really concerning, as if everything else wasn't concerning enough, and this is the last point. When Fat Joe brought up how, and Bishop, see, people know what to do what with, because we all heard, for the most part, how he has been lashing out at a lot of people who have been going live, and he got on Larry Reed's live and went off on him and called somebody gay and was talking about the female pastor, her weight and all that. All is during the live because he was mad at what they were saying, right? He would dare say anything crazy while on that during that Fat Joe interview. But Fat Joe brought up how he called someone gay. No, he said, I didn't call someone gay. I called them a faggot.
Oh.
And Joe was looking like, well, what is it? He's like, so you don't think that that community will find that offensive? His response was no, because a faggot is not a gay person. A faggot is a bag of sticks. Right? Then he goes on to say, like, so I don't remember what Fat Joe's question was, but then he goes on to say, well, Scripture teaches me, there's no way I could say that and mean that faggot is someone gay, because Scripture teaches me that you're not born in sin. It's biblically impossible for you to be born in sin. And only because I really felt the need for us to pray for him, I kept listening after that, because even if you're a non-believer, one of the main things you know outside of "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son" is that we were born and shaped in iniquity. So how is it that your Bible teaches you that there is absolutely, oh, that's because Fagio asked, so you don't believe that some people are born gay. And that's what made him respond with the, it's impossible for you to be born in sin because my Bible teaches me that you're not born in sin. So you have this flashy bishop who ain't talking about nothing. Not only are you not talking about anything, but you're the representation of God that you're putting out there and how you're just twisting the word the little bit that you do know, because it got so bad to the point where every time he referenced the Bible, there's a guy by the name of something Jive, King Jive. He's hilarious. Every time he referenced the scripture, this Bible came out. He ripped this Bible. He said, wait, we got to check this. We got to check this because first it was Proverbs 105:15. And then it was, it's impossible for us to be born in sin. So we really need to pray for him. We really need to pray for his wife because it's so scary. Like, I was laughing the whole time because I was laughing at the comments and the commentary and everything. But it is so scary for those who blindly follow. I don't care how dope you believe your pastor is. For you not to study and read for yourself. No one is flawless, including clergy. For you to blindly follow people and listen to them. And he has like 5-point-something million followers on Instagram alone. Everybody ain't following just so they could bash him. People are following, actually following him. We really have to pray for his integrity. Maybe he needs to be sat down. I don't know. And a lot of people think that all publicity is good publicity. This is horrible publicity because it's horrible publicity for God. God is being represented horribly through this. So really praying that God forgives him for how he is representing, let's say the kingdom, it reminds me of kingdom business, representing the kingdom, representing God. And not only that, but representing every other pastor, legit pastor who was not self-appointed, because now it makes people like you, Pastor Steph, and Pastor Ed, and Pastor Charlene, and Pastor Kim, and Elder Natisha, all of y'all, it makes y'all job even harder, especially because y'all cater a lot more to like millennials and younger. It makes your job even harder because now this is what you're up against. So we really have to pray for him.
Okay, well, here's what we're going to do. That was pretty thorough, and you said that you were going to shorten it. So tomorrow, we're going to let the men talk about this, and then we're going to pray for them as we have completely run out of time today. Thank you for that introduction, but God spares. This will be our topic for tomorrow, and we're going to have you break it down, and the four of us will converse. How's that?
Okay.
All righty. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit as you go through your day. Be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Big Time crew for always coming through big time for us. Thank Shantice for that very in-depth pray for them introduction, and God spares, we'll finish that up tomorrow. Please do not miss the opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now or deepen that relationship with the Lord right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, where it's Freestyle Friday, and we get to do whatever it is we want to do. You've already heard what we got ready to do. God spares our life. I love you.